This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans, or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a retrospective exhibit of African-American art, a walkthrough of a new exhibit by a Southern master painter, or a jam session with a member of a New Orleans jazz family dynasty, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. "30 Americans, a retrospective of contemporary African-American art from the past three decades," opens at the Contemporary Arts Center this week. The nationally acclaimed touring exhibition is drawn from the Rubel Family Collection in Miami. It includes works from emerging and well-established African-American artists in a variety of mediums. Joining me now to talk about this massive collection is CAC Executive Director Neil Barclay. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Tell me about this massive collection that will literally take over the Contemporary Arts Center.
Well, as you mentioned, the collection comes from the holdings of the Rubel Family Collection in Miami. It's a collection of works by actually 31 artists, which is one of the fun things about 30 Americans. It's actually 31 artists that are included in the exhibition. And it's a wide range of artists working in a variety of mediums. Leonardo Drew has a huge sculpture that's in the front CAC windows. There's a Basquiat, a very small Basquiat, that is actually in the exhibition. Wangechi Mutu, Xavier Simmons, Lorna Simpson, the names go on and on. Carrie Mae Weems, who just recently won the MacArthur, quote, Genius Award for Visual Arts, has a piece in the exhibition. So it's a great, great collection of a variety of different kinds of work.
So how did New Orleans and the CAC get so lucky in attracting this exhibit to town?
Well, you know, I had seen the exhibition several times at the Corcoran in Milwaukee and at its other stops on the tour that it has done to date. And when I was thinking about an exhibition that I would really like to see in New Orleans, this exhibition came to mind. But, of course, I thought, well, it's been touring for a while. It's got to be totally booked, or perhaps it's no longer touring, and it'll be very difficult to get it. But upon calling the Rubel Family Collection and talking to its director, I found that they had in fact been trying to get the exhibition into New Orleans for many years and were thrilled to hear of our interest and have really gone out of their way to make it possible for us to really bring it here. And so that, coupled with the fact that we had the time and the space available to house and show an exhibition of this size and range, made it a great confluence of different factors that made it possible. It's great.
So now the exhibit is going to take up the first, the second, and the third floors of the CAC. What subjects are being explored?
Almost every subject that you can think of that is explored in contemporary art is explored in the exhibition in one way or another. Of course, issues of race, of gender, of identity, I think will come to mind to the viewer first and foremost. But, you know, the fact that, you know, because an artist is of a certain cultural background, does their work actually reflect that cultural background or not? You know, I think of some of the work of Iona Brown, for example, who really pulls a lot from Japanese, you know, culture in the paintings that she has in the exhibition, for example. So it's not organized by theme or it's not organized by particular ideas, but I think as the viewer goes through the exhibition that a number of different subjects and subject matter comes to mind. Now, the third floor of the CAC is focused around the theme of what makes this work distinctly American. And by that, we look at things that have happened in this country historically and how the artists have reflected upon them in that floor. But other than that, the themes, the ideas, the aesthetics being explored are really all over the contemporary art map.
Can you describe a couple of the works that we might see?
For example, we have the Nick Cave suits that he makes, which are, you know, sort of large-scale sculptures, really, that are in the second floor of the exhibition. They're just beautifully, ornately detailed suits that one could wear. And I don't mean like a, you know, a suit you would wear to a wedding, but, you know, a piece of clothing, an item. There's some neon sculptures in the piece, for example, that Glenn Ligon does, which I think are very interesting to reflect upon what's being said in the neon itself. Leonardo Drew's sculpture that occupies the first floor in the kind of corner window of the CAC, you know, is a stunningly large exhibition that's created from bales of cotton.
So now, who are the Rubels and how did they acquire this collection?
The Rubels are a husband and wife who live in Miami now, who started collecting, you know, as very young professionals some 50 plus years ago. And they literally collected the things that they loved. And so at the time, they would go to different friends' galleries and studios. They lived in New York at that point before moving to Miami, and would just see things that they liked, and they would purchase them, and it became kind of the passion of their lives. And over time, they've amassed one of the great contemporary art collections in the world, but it really has come from getting to know the artist, visiting the studio, looking at the work, and buying things that interest them. They did not do it as an investment. They did not do it because somebody said, oh, you need to get a such and such painting for your collection. It's all based on passion and the things that they respond to. I'd have to say that they have a pretty good eye, because in the collection now are really a who's who of contemporary art, not just of African American art, but of artists of all stripes are now in this collection.
Neil, thank you.
Thank you.
Neil Barclay is the executive director of the Contemporary Art Center. The exhibit, 30 Americans, opens Saturday, February 8th, and runs through June 15th at the Contemporary Art Center, 900 Camp Street. More info at cacno.org. Just a few steps away, Southern master John Clemmer has a new body of work on view at Lemieux Galleries. His first solo exhibit, following a major retrospective of his work in 2005 at the New Orleans Museum of Art. Now in his early 90s, this Louisiana native, master painter and sculptor, continues to create works of art. He has been dividing his time between New Orleans and Wisconsin and joins me by phone from Sheboygan. John, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you.
This is quite a treat, as you'll be in New Orleans this weekend for a walkthrough of your latest exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, what is it that keeps you going?
What keeps me going? I don't know, my dear. Just being alive, I guess. I'm only 92, so I keep trying.
Tell me about your latest work, 9 years later. What are you exploring?
Well, most of that work was done up here in my studio in Sheboygan, and it's mostly landscapes and such, divided between painting and drawing. Some are watercolor, some are oil on canvas. A variety. My selection of a medium is purely intuitive. I go to my studio up here in the morning and I pick up a brush and see what happens. My routine usually is I try and get there around 10 o'clock and I pick up a brush and I begin. I listen to classical music. There's a lovely station in Western Michigan that has classical music 24 hours a day. And I have that on the radio and I pick up a brush and I see what happens. The landscapes are primarily views from my studio up here, really. There are a lot of birch trees, and some of the light is just marvelous. I look out and work from what I see.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? I understand that you were attracted to art at a very young age.
I went to public schools in New Orleans, and I went up to Fort Jay High School, and I began drawing at a very early age. I received a scholarship, I guess, in the early 30s or so. I went to the very exotic French Quarter in those days, and I met people like Paul Ninas and Ricky Alvarez and Julius Waltz, Jules Strupek, It was then what was called the New Orleans Art School, which is part of the Arts and Crafts Club. And I got a scholarship there, and I began to work, and I worked in the Gresham Gallery, which was then in the Brulatour Court on Royal Street. It was a frame shop and art gallery, and I worked there for many years. Eventually, I was asked to teach a drawing class at Tulane in the School of Architecture, and I was there for some, I don't know, 35-odd years or so, I guess, during which time I had a studio. We bought a lovely house in the Upper Garden District and had a beautiful place, a separate studio, and I worked there for many, many years until I retired from it, and I still have a studio there, and now we spend a lot of time up here in Wisconsin.
You've been a moving force on the art scene in New Orleans since, what, the 1940s?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we've seen a lot of changes in your work. What will we experience in the walkthrough on Saturday?
I'll make a few comments, and then hopefully people will ask questions, and I'll go from there.
How does the work that you're producing today differ from what we've seen, say, in the big retrospective that was at NOMA?
Primarily landscapes. It varies a great deal. There are a number of drawings that are purely intuitive. I have no set program of working. Half my time is spent just sitting and looking, and it's a very slow process. I remember Marva's story about my longtime friend Pat Trevino, who's unfortunately no longer with us. But Pat was on a sabbatical in Rome many years ago, and they couldn't afford a separate studio, so he was working in their apartment. And Helen had taken the kids out, and she came back, and she was tired, and the kids were very ornery, and she walked in, and Pat was sitting there looking at a painting, and she looked at him, and she said very angrily, "Pat, why aren't you working?" Pat says, "I am working." You know, I sit and I look at a painting, and it says, you know, come, do something. It's purely intuitive, really. Half my time working is sitting and just looking at what I'm working on. And see what happens. If I don't know what to do, I don't touch it.
How did you make the New Orleans Sheboygan connection? What brought you to Wisconsin?
Well, my wife and I have been married for over 50 years, and her family had a little cottage in Sheboygan.
How are you hoping viewers will connect with your latest work?
It is a pleasure when someone looks at a work of mine and they have a reaction to it, you know, which is great.
Beautiful. Well, John, thanks so much.
I appreciate your calling.
Master painter John Clemmer, his latest exhibit, 9 years later, is on view through February 22nd at Lemieux Galleries, 332 Julia Street. John Clemmer will be in town Saturday for a gallery walkthrough from 2 to 4 p.m. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. New Orleans' own John Batiste and his Stay Human Band have a new release, Social Music. They recently performed at NPR's DC Studios with Weekend Edition Sunday host Rachel Martin. Let's sit in.
That's Jonathan Batiste at the piano. His band, Stay Human, is all about breaking down formality of all kinds. So with them, he just goes by John. John Batiste was born and raised in New Orleans as part of the Batiste Jazz Family Dynasty there. He was playing with the family band by age 8. Eventually, he took his talents to Juilliard, and that's where he met the rest of Stay Human. Joe Saylor on the drums, Ibanda Rohumbika on tuba, and Eddie Barbash on alto sax. Together, they have set out to make jazz as accessible as possible. If that means fusing it with funk or pop or rock, no problem. Ditching the grand piano for a portable piano-harmonica hybrid? Sure. Playing parades on the streets and subways of New York? Of course. Stay Human has a new album called, appropriately, Social Music. Recently, they brought their energetic selves down to our Washington studios to play for us.
And you tear my world apart. Ow! Why you gotta be like that? I say, why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta be like that? It's all right. What happened? Thank you.
You guys have fun when you play music.
What other way is there to do it?
I don't know. A lot of people can get kind of serious and, you know, it's big serious and heavy.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of your music, though, like videos and on YouTube, it's a lot more mobile than what you guys are doing right now. Like, you're playing in a really nice studio, and you've got a big old grand piano that you're sitting at. But you also, you move around a lot more. That's part of how you like to make music, right?
I like to bring music to people where they are. And I wanted to figure out how to do that with this band. So at one point, we decided that we'd go play in the subway and play in the moving train and just bring music to people who probably would never have the opportunity, either because of awareness or finances or whatever it may be.
So tell me about the first time you guys went out in the subway system. Was that the first time you actually tried to do this kind of public performance?
We went to school together, and at school I would play in the hallways. Then we would take it into the subway, and that was the first time. It kind of happened on the street one night in the Lower East Side of New York. That the first love riot, we call them love riots. The first love riot was born with two people that transformed in a matter of 15 minutes into 300 people and cops coming on horseback to break it up in the middle of the street. So that was the first one, and we say, well, the power of music is evident today. Let's do this.
Were you guys all there that first time?
Yeah.
And Joe, you just take like a small little drum with you, or what do you play?
Yeah, I take my...
Shake it up.
Ah.
Yeah. Show them a little something.
A little tambourine action.
This became my I couldn't take my whole drum set on the train, so this became my default.
I did not know instrument. That you could do that with a tambourine.
Neither did I.
That's a bad dude.
So people responded to this, or did you get a lot of people looking at you like, come on, man, I'm just trying to live my day, and all of a sudden I got musicians in my face?
That's the beautiful thing about the New York subway system. It's the ultimate social experiment. Because you have all of these people from different cultures in one place, and they have to ride next to each other, 2 inches apart. You know, it's the guy who would probably never talk to the guy next to him, and they're all together in the same place, very close. And they're not expecting to hear music. And it's been cool to see the transition of, like, we've been playing, and we were in school, and then now we go out, and people recognize us, and it's like, hey, they know you.
Does that take something from the experience, though? Because when you started out, you could kind of be anonymous and just kind of rogue, and now people recognize you?
No, it's
I
better.
Like it.
It's better?
It's better.
We've made half of our fans on the streets and the subways. People that would have never come to our concerts or any concerts, huh. You know, now come to everything we play because mm-hmm. we met That's them on right. a subway.
They're fans of jazz or fans of live music or fans of classical music. They're fans of music, and they don't know it yet.
Mm. Well, let's hear another song, a track called Express Yourself.
Oh, yeah, let's do that one.
Pick up your paintbrush and paint. Express yourself and how you think. Dance your dance, sing the truth. Go for your dreams, they will come true. Blow your horn, play your bass. You know what to do. Cause we believe in you, yes we do. Express yourself today. Cause it's the Los Angeles, India, all the way to Bucharest, chilling on the corner in New Orleans,
said we living it up. I said we living the dream. Now everybody in Egypt land, go on, express yourself. Cross the waters in Japan, everybody express yourself. In New York City, Little Italy, Rio to Michigan, Cincinnati, Baton Rouge, y'all ain't heard the news. Express yourself today. Cause it's the only way, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was lovely.
Yeah.
I read a quote from you that said people don't dance to jazz anymore. That's something you clearly want to change.
I think every great art form and every great form of music deserves movement. Even if it didn't have the danceable rhythm of like James Brown, it's classical music and great ballet choreographed to that. Rhythm is dance, and dance is rhythm. So if you have music and it doesn't have rhythm, one of my teachers said, well, that ain't music.
Have you guys tried to do a love ride somewhere where it just didn't work? Or have you thought about trying to do it somewhere and you're like, no, that's not
no,
a no place is off limits.
Not work. I'm
people like to be happy. So, I mean, we've been in like, you know, 5-star restaurants just banging on the tables, breaking glasses, and people be like, hey, here's more.
It's amazing what you can get away with when you're making music.
Take another one.
Yeah.
John Batiste and Stay Human, they joined us in Studio One here in Washington. Their latest album is called Social Music. You guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you, yeah.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks to Rachel Martin, host of NPR's Weekend Edition Sunday.
I went down to St. James Infirmary and I saw my baby there.
That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at wwno.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.